You're watching Single Process with Joe and Bob. We've created this series of videos to help you navigate the difficult process of divorce. We hope this helps you on your journey. Our episode today is on the steps for divorce. What actually happens?
Yeah, right, good point. What actually happens? So, like on television, you think you're just going to get served out of the blue.
Out of the blue papers, when you're walking out of the gym or walking out of work.
Right.
I don't know what the process is. I think it might depend on whether you mediate or go traditional divorce route.
Totally.
But I'm not sure exactly. I still don't understand what papers
got
filed.
We're going to find out from Darcy McAllister, who's here with us. Darcy is a family law attorney with Carta, McAllister, and Moore in Connecticut. She volunteers as a special master for the Superior Courts on Family Matters. Lovely. She brings a holistic approach to the divorce process, and she just got married.
What's up with that, Darcy?
You're a divorce attorney.
Yep, well, it took 10 years of me fighting, but I gave in. I relented.
I love it.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So and now tell us how to get divorced.
Yeah, how to get divorced.
Sorry, that's the prenup conversation.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
We're going to get there at some point. So, Darcy, tell us what actually, I mean, just lead us into a what happens? Who decides to get divorced? What happens? Who files what papers?
Well, it really depends on the clients themselves and how they want it to proceed. As you said, you know, initially people always look at the movies where all of a sudden a marshal comes out and serves somebody, you know, as a surprise, and of course everything.
Oh, very dramatic. Sounds
yeah.
fun.
And everything deteriorates from there because of the way that it was handled. So in a traditional process, I would say that most frequently, you only need three papers in order to commence the action. You need a summons and a complaint and the automatic orders. And it just speaks to the court about the scope of the issues that they're going to be addressing. And in the traditional process, that's usually the first thing that's done. I never ever suggest that my client should surprise their spouse. I think everything
really?
Should always be done in coordination.
Well, it would set the tone for a very
acrimonious situation.
Yeah,
it polarizes the parties.
So,
I mean, it brings the worst out in everything.
So what do you do then? So you would arrange service? Is that what happens? You call their attorney if, let's say, you both have separate counsel, and actually arrange to serve them at a given time or place, or you
yes.
serve their attorney?
Exactly. The attorney can accept on the client's behalf, or if they've not yet hired an attorney, I reach out to the opposing party and say, you can come to our office, we'll give you the marshal's number, but there's no reason to start it out in a contentious manner. I mean, it's just simply going to go downhill from there.
If you don't lawyer up, can you file for divorce on your own?
Of course.
And how would somebody do that?
Literally filling out the same forms and going down to the clerk's office and having them notarized, and then
okay.
you serve them. And you can actually have a waiver of service. At this point,
what is that, Darcy? What is a waiver of service?
If you're in an amicable divorce, the party can actually acknowledge that they have possession of the papers, and then you don't even need the marshal to participate.
Okay.
So the one amicable divorce that occurred in Connecticut, they did that.
There are more than you think. You just don't hear about them.
No, you don't.
Yes, you don't. Not amongst all friends, anyway.
You hear about the litigated cases, but more and more, and the self-represented parties, or you hear people doing it on their own, most often there's a mediator involved or collaborative attorneys in the background. So we don't really track that, which is unfortunate. You don't know how many are litigated versus
yeah.
how many are mediated.
So if you're in a mediated or collaborative divorce process, are you still filing the summons and complaint?
Oh,
and is that, was it a different process then?
It's the same process, and you also have to appear, you know, if you come to an agreement, you also have to appear in court and have the judge deem the agreement to be fair and reasonable. If you are under a certain threshold, you actually don't need to appear. You can submit the papers. But generally...
Under threshold of what?
There's, you know...
Financial?
Financial assets, et cetera. There's now a non-adversarial process where you literally can submit them.
And
just
you don't
electronically,
even appear in
and
court.
You don't need to appear. For
wow.
the most part, if you have retirement accounts, things like that, then you do need to appear.
Okay.
But in mediation and collaborative, you decide when you're going to file a paper. So a lot of times now, because you can accelerate the process and there's no longer a waiting period, a mandatory waiting period, or at least there's a mechanism to get around it. So a lot of times people negotiate their entire agreement at this point before filing. It keeps it out of the public eye. They don't have the pressure of the court because at a certain point, the court starts to monitor you and put pressure on you.
So from a timing standpoint, you're
yes.
saying, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would think you kind of want that. If you want to accelerate your divorce, then you want to get it on record sooner than later.
Some people do. Some people want the start because then they know it's being tracked and they feel that there's some pressure, and so there's some pressure to make progress in the negotiations.
What kind of pressure does the court put on you to make progress? How long can you go back and forth between lawyers once you filed before the court says, hey, you got to get in here and give us a status update?
Well, there's a 90-day waiting period.
It goes state by state, but roughly.
Right, yes. In Connecticut, we here have a 90-day waiting period. You can get around that now, but they're not going to intervene at all. They're not going to request that you come in. In that first 90 days, they're expecting you to consult with counsel, to prepare your financial affidavits, and to address a parenting plan.
At some point, you have to appear in court for the divorce to be finalized.
Unless you're under those thresholds.
Okay. And how quickly could you divorce? What would be a quickie divorce in the state of Connecticut?
I've met with clients that had resolved most of their issues, and we had them divorced within 10 days. We drafted an agreement.
Holy smokes!
Yeah.
So there's no waiting period. There's no state
you can
required.
Waive it. That's what
you can get around
can
it.
It.
Now, that's something new in the last 18 months. Before, it was a mandatory 90-day waiting period, and that's why some people would go to the islands to get divorced.
Okay.
Wow. Darcy, can I back you up right to the beginning of our conversation where you talked about automatic orders? What are those?
The automatic orders, once the papers are served, they're automatically in place. And so there's the power of contempt. If somebody actually violates the automatic orders, they're in violation of a court order, and therefore they're in contempt. So there's much more weight to it.
And what's filed along with that? A parenting plan? A temporary parenting plan?
On the 90th day, you need to do the parenting plan.
Review that again. The parenting plan?
Parenting plan. Because they want to make sure the children are protected. They don't want the children to be out there. So that's now one of the first things you should address. And it's best for the kids, obviously. Then you have the financial affidavits, which is not only an exchange of disclosure between the two parties, but it's also the basis on which the court relies to decide if the agreement that you reach is fair and reasonable.
Okay, good point.
Or that's the information they rely on in order to enter judgment.
Okay.
And then you have the case management agreement, which is the scheduling aspect of it. If you need appraisals, when you expect to have them done, if you need to have depositions, when you expect it to be done. It's not binding, but it's a guideline of how you anticipate moving the case forward. But to go back to your point on the automatic orders, because that's one of the first papers served, the automatic orders are important, and that's why some people choose to start the service early or to file the papers early, because it essentially requires that both parties maintain the status quo as to children
and
as to finances.
Yes.
So if in mediation or collaborative, you all want to work outside of the process before filing papers, you still want to make sure that they're advised of the automatic orders and that they're agreeing to abide by them. But it's the whole idea that it has to remain a status quo until and unless there's agreement by the parties or further order of the court.
Okay.
So that's filed. You now have that first set of filing, and then you proceed to try and negotiate the actual final divorce agreement, I would assume.
Well, there could be many phases in between. For instance, you might need the advice of professionals. You might want to get a certified divorce financial planner involved, especially if one party isn't aware of
the finances,
doesn't have enough knowledge or doesn't have enough background, or there's anxiety that somebody might have been doing something shady. You absolutely want to work in the parenting plan. You're also, in the traditional process, going to exchange discovery. Generally, you're going to do that in all processes, whether it's traditional mediation or litigation or collaborative.
Talk to us about what discovery is.
Well, in Connecticut, you are automatically entitled to certain documentation regarding the finances. 3 years of bank records, sworn financial affidavit, information about COBRA, so that the other spouse really can become familiar with what the finances are. And it can go way beyond the scope of what's automatic.
If you're in mediation, does that process happen?
Yes. It doesn't necessarily happen in the formulaic way as traditional, but there's a commitment in mediation and in collaborative that you will provide the information requested. You don't file it with the court. There's not a 30-day turnaround. Both parties commit that they have to provide the other with the financial information. And if they don't, it's not going to remain in mediation or collaborative.
Okay.
It's going to fall into litigation. And so what we tell our clients all the time is, even though there's not a judge overseeing this that will compel you at this moment, it will be, because your spouse will turn to litigation unless you provide it.
Okay.
Now, we definitely coordinate more on what information do you need. I mean, it's not that you automatically produce 3 years of bank statements if they're both familiar with the banking accounts
no
and have
need.
Access. There's no need. So you really personalize it more in mediation and collaborative.
Okay.
And people honor it.
Yeah. So tell us, so now you're negotiating that final agreement, you've had the discovery and all of that's going on. How does that differ when you're doing it in the different processes, negotiating that agreement? How does that look in the traditional? I talk to you, you're my lawyer, he talks to his lawyer, and then you guys speak. Do things get lost in translation? Do you ever meet in one room and have a conversation in the traditional process, or is that really reserved for mediation and collaborative?
The traditional process really has a broad scope. I mean, you have, if you go by, you know, the practice book and what happens, and certain attorneys do it by rote and will only do it. But more and more, we're saying, you know, because it's a family, it's not really adversarial parties. You're still going to have to, especially if you have kids, you're still going to have to be present and engage with each other in the future.
Forever.
It seems. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you made a really good point in the beginning. And I know there's a famous attorney to the stars, Laura Wasser, talks about this, that the way you behave early on in a divorce can set the tone for everything. She really encourages, for the sake of the kids, to take the high road. So when you talked about, don't start out with serving papers if you can not do
right.
that. You know, keep it positive. It probably makes a big difference on the whole process.
And keep it focused on the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, in the traditional process, as you said, Joe, it's a telephone game. Things become distorted when it goes through different people and then back again. And one spouse, in a lot of situations, ends up resenting the other spouse's attorney. Because it's, my attorney said, and your attorney said, and no one's hearing anything at the same time. So I think that we've become more progressive in the family law section, where we're more willing to sit down and have four-way conversations so people hear things at the same time. Also, the other attorney doesn't become demonized. You see that the attorneys see similarly. We both have a broad perspective on what's a reasonable range for a settlement. You know, so most times it settles, even in traditional. But in mediation and in collaborative, you're invested. We're not swapping offers, which tends to be disruptive and be polarizing because people say, how dare you? And they get defensive.
Yeah.
You sit down and you don't say, well, what is it that you want? In mediation and collaborative, you start with the idea, what are your goals and what are your concerns?
Okay.
And then let's try and build from there. So, you know, if somebody makes an offer, instead of saying, I reject that, here's the counter, what about this don't you like? And as you hear what it is that concerns them, you can then make adjustments, but they build it together in mediation collaborative.
As opposed to an offer and a counter-offer.
Yeah, I think that's
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Good topic.
Great topic. Darcy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, for more information on the process of how to get divorced, check out our website, singleprocess.me.